This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? Most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, brought to you by StGeorgeUtahGolf.com. Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Always happy to be talking golf getaways with you. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Darren Bunch out there in California. And we have a very special guest. We'll get to him shortly. Let's call this a bonus episode, one of the many where we ask a guest to answer our now world famous Emergency 9 golf travel quiz questions. You can find Talking Golf Getaways at golfnewsnet.com, of course, on iTunes, podcasts, and TuneIn. And this, Emergency 9, is sponsored by our good friends at the Bucket List Destination. We're going to be speaking Bucket List shortly. StGeorgeUtahGolf.com is the place. You can play some of the West's most picturesque golf courses, all of them at the foot of amazing Zion National Park. To book your next great golf getaway, visit StGeorgeUtahGolf.com today.
Hey, Mitch, let's jump in real quick here, though. It dawns on me that our guest, Eric Hart, he went to St. George, Utah on the trip that I went to. And so maybe we ought to get his opinion on what he loves about St. George.
Hey, Eric.
Yes, sir.
Nice to have you with us, first of all.
Thank you.
And what did you like about St. George?
Other than Brian Orr?
When you say Brian Orr, you have to say Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire, and that has become the drinking game for Talking Golf Getaways. Anybody who's listening has to take a drink anytime we say Brian Orr, golf getaways or golf photographer extraordinaire.
All right, I've been in trouble before for using the word extraordinaire, so I will try to watch.
Say you had to
one.
Spell it. We just said okay. You had to use it.
We only use it in regards to Brian Orr. He's the only extraordinaire that we use.
Well, that's good. It's appropriate in his instance. So,
well, give me something memorable from the St. George trip that you particularly remember that stands out.
Well, strangely enough, my highlight from the entire trip had nothing to do with golf, and unfortunately, everything to do with Darren Bunch and I hiking all the way up to the top of Angel's Landing in Zion National Park.
I have actually recounted this story on a previous episode about how you hauled my ass up the side of a mountain and almost killed me.
Yeah, and then climbed on top of the skinny rock on top and, you know, just stood up there and looked around at everything while everyone else looked at me strange. So, yes.
That is a good point I did not mention to you, Mitchell, that once we got up to the top, to the actual landing, then Eric felt the need to, like, go stand up on top of yet another rock that was above the actual landing and have me take his picture. And I think that's on my Instagram page. So if anybody wants to check out Golf Getaways on Instagram, you'll see exactly where Eric was towering over the valley floor below.
The crazy things we do on golf trips.
Well, my favorite part of the whole story is that Eric was like a mountain goat, climbing up everything in sight and bouncing off everything in sight. And that you, Darren, as we all well know who know you, treated it like it was, you know, an 80-mile marathon that you had to stop every 12 seconds.
More like a mountain water buffalo.
All right. So yeah, we had some fun on that hike. Tell me from a golf standpoint, you got one course that really, really jumped out at you that you would love to go back to?
In my opinion, there's only one course in the whole St. George area that should be on every top 100 list anywhere in the world. And
Sand Hollow?
Yeah, Sand Hollow. I always get twisted around on the links courses out there, too, so I've called it Sand Links before. But Sand Hollow, you know, the 27 holes they have out there, most people only know about the 18, but the other 9 were great, too. But Sand Hollow is just that course that you get there, you hear all these things about it, you see all these pictures, especially if you look at Brian Orr's photography, golf course photographer extraordinaire, and you see the shots that he's taking, you would swear you're at a different course. You go out there, you play the front nine, you get around to the back, and you're like, are we really playing the right place? Then you get out to that par three, and you start to see the valley below you, and then everything just explodes. And for anyone who's never seen Utah in pictures, or never seen golf in pictures, or never seen beauty in pictures, you can find all three just in that one stretch on that course.
All right. Well, given, Eric, that you've played almost 400 golf courses and 120 resorts visited, 48 states, 35 countries, I think you can answer these emergency nine questions pretty responsibly. I don't think we have to worry about you having bucket lists and things you like about golf travel. So we're going to get right to it. Here's our nine questions. The first one, your favorite course and or destination anywhere in the world?
Well, my favorite course in the world would be in my favorite destination in the world. That would be Scotland. Most people's bucket list. On top of most people's bucket list for sure. And obviously it'd be the old course at St. Andrews. And if I can expand on it just a little bit, I always hear people ask what makes it so special and spectacular other than the experience itself. And that's a good question because the experience is 90% of everything. And, you know, the scenery part, as Darren and I have discussed several times, is really hard to judge there because you're surrounded by the town of St. Andrews. And you're right on the sea, but it's a relatively flat course other than all the undulation on the course itself. So you don't necessarily see mountains or ocean and all that on all the holes, but you just feel like you're in a special place the whole way. So the old course of St. Andrews in Scotland would be top of my bucket list. And I always have to throw this in there just to throw it in, but if you've never been to Alberta, Canada, Jasper Park and Banff Springs, they got to be right there too.
So let me ask you this, Eric, about your trip to the old course. And obviously I was there with you. So talk a little bit about playing the road hole and at what time of the day we played the road hole and how cool that experience was.
Well, that was the entire thing playing with you, Darren, was unbelievable. But when we got to that last six hole stretch, the sun was starting to set. You could see it going down behind the buildings. The shadows were casting long. And we got to 17, and we got to that hotel. And from our tee box, they had the tees, of course, all the way to the left for us when we were up to the right for us when we were out there, which meant that with my ridiculous tee shot, I had to go directly over to the building. And given that it was basically – it was just getting dark there we had no idea really what we were supposed to do, but I had parred the last four holes. So we got there and the only thing we could think of was to just try and hit it over the corner of the building and hope that it would be in the middle of the fairway. And, as you know, it was, and I believe we both parred that hole, the road hole, and rolled around to 18 with it basically being street light dark. Street lights were out. It lit up the fairways down both sides. It was just gorgeous, but there was no natural light from the sun left. And playing that, it was beautiful all the way in. To end our entire Scotland trip at the old course as you and I did, and to end it with six consecutive pars is something I'll never forget.
It's a special place, no question about it. I'm so glad you guys got to experience it together. Sorry, I was just walking around town sampling whiskey at the time when you guys were playing. So I was having fun too, but, and there was no natural light in the places I was either. I'll say that. All right. You mentioned that the old course and St. Andrews, and you mentioned bucket list. You've already played the old course, so that bucket list has been checked. But the second emergency nine question, what's at the top of your golf travel bucket list places or place that you have yet to play?
If I can throw it real quick back, the one thing Darren and I definitely should have had on our bucket list mentioned from Scotland was all the sticky toffee pudding we had. So you can't leave that out of a Scotland conversation. But kicking forward to bucket list items, I guess it's supposed to be item, but, you know, as you guys like to point out, I have a few. My bucket travel list, are you thinking more in terms of destinations or specific courses, Mitch?
Well, it can be any. I think it's relative to golf. So let's say courses in specific places you haven't been.
Number one bucket list destination would be New Zealand. And my number one bucket list course overall, even just in front of Augusta National, is Kauri Cliffs in New Zealand. And it's the pictures, in a sense, but as our good buddy Jason Deegan, golf writer extraordinaire, likes to point out, it's unlike anywhere else on Earth. Everything about it is just amazing, and it's why New Zealand has been at the top of mine, yours, and Darren's bucket list.
I'm sensing something here, Darren.
Yes?
Aren't you? Well, the fact that the three of us have that at the top of our bucket list, I think there's got to be something imminent somewhere.
Eric's already planning that trip, but I told him that he has to include you and Ava in it if we're going to go do it.
Okay, that's great. I'm there.
I asked if we had to include Brian, too, though, in golf photographer extraordinaire, and he said no. Darren said no. So
that's right. Hey, Eric, tell me about something else on your bucket list. You mentioned, I know in your top five, you've got Mission Hills, China, which is not a place that I have ever thought to myself I really want to go. But I know you find it fascinating. Tell us a little bit why.
Well, Mission Hills is the only place on Earth that I know of that has 18 different golf courses designed by 16 different golf designers. And the owner of that property has brought in basically everybody who had an inkling to do any golf design whatsoever and put them all together in one spot on an island and gave them free rein to do it, whatever they wanted to do. And I'm fascinated by 18 different courses on one island that are all part of one resort. And the fact that it's real close to another one of my bucket list courses, Stone Forest, with all the giant pillars and that's around there, it's just always kind of been a drive in the back of my mind. And their owner is a fascinating guy in that he's now working on developing an 18-hole kind of a, I guess they called it a circus course, where you have 18 different holes that play like a mini golf course, but with regular clubs, full length, with a clown's mouth, a target, all that. And they're developing this thing, and if you see pictures of it, it'll just blow your mind.
I thought the clown part would scare you away, but obviously it hasn't.
I want to go hit the clown. I really don't care what it
is. Okay, Mitch, what's next?
All right. This is kind of a cool one because, as I said, you have stayed in so many different places that it's kind of mind-boggling to me. The best place you've ever stayed? And that's a big question.
Best place I've ever stayed? To me, it's hands down the Hilton Waikoloa on the Big Island. And again, as a family golf writer and as a family traveler, someone who writes for a lot of periodicals on family stuff, the Hilton Waikoloa is about way more than golf. And it's my wife's favorite place she's ever been. Granted, we love Hawaii in general. Who doesn't? But just the compound formed all the way around the ocean with the coral sand instead of real sand, and the turtles swimming in the lagoon and right off the beach there, and everything that they've got. And I mean, the golf course itself only has one hole that's on the ocean, but it's a beautiful hole, and the resort is just astonishing for where it is. So I guess I would say, with everything it's got going for it, being Hawaii, the Hilton Waikoloa is hard to beat. But if I can, you know, if you take the ocean out of everything, the Fairmont Scottsdale Princess in Arizona has got to be my favorite resort.
Yeah, it's got some epic rooms, too.
Yeah, it's the rooms, the sprawling, the restaurant. Richard Sandoval's got a Mexican restaurant there that is out of this world, with outdoor fire pits with the tables built around them, and they bring everything out to you. And best guacamole I've had anywhere other than when Darren and I stopped at that little restaurant outside Zion National Park.
Okay, moving on in the emergency nine, Eric, I'm going to ask this question because, as I've said before, if Darren gets to ask this particular question, he may go off on a tangent and never even get to your answer. What's the single best thing you've ever eaten on a trip? You've already mentioned guacamole, but what's the single best thing you've ever eaten on a trip, and where was it?
Mitch, to be fair, I'm a lot like Darren in that I find all kinds of things that just blow my mind when it comes to the palate. So food-wise, putting the word single in that sentence doesn't really work for me. If I have to narrow it down to just one, I would say the cookies and cream shake that I had in Cape Town, South Africa at this little hole-in-the-wall place called the Royale Eatery. That would probably be number one, but I've got a few more if you want more for the audience.
Yeah, well, go for it. I mean, we can't leave. I know Darren could leave it at the shake, but we want to hear more.
That place, Oscar's outside Zion National Park, has not only the world's best guacamole, in my opinion, but one of the world's best burgers. And the only burger that I can think of that would top it is the Coca-Cola barbecue burger at Ross Bridge in Hoover, Alabama. I would go with that any day. I could go with the ribs at One Hot Mama's on Hilton Head. I'm sure you've been down there, Mitch, several times.
I have.
And there's a phenomenal little barbecue place on Sea Island in Georgia called Southern Soul. It's in the middle of a town square, and they've got the cookers and smokers out there, and you just drive up in your car and pull over and step out, and they ask you if you want to try anything, and they give you samples right there on the side of the road. It's amazing. And then I've got to give props to one of my favorite places to stop anywhere I go, and say the Coca-Cola chocolate cake at Cracker Barrel is pretty much to die for.
All right, Eric, besides the actual golf on a trip, what's the most important thing for you on a golf trip? Obviously, you know you've traveled with me. You know that I'm a shower whore and I love the showers, and I have to have a perfect shower everywhere I go. And we just had a huge conversation with Michael Kaiser Jr. about the showers at Sand Valley. But for you, it's a little bit different. Tell me what your favorite thing is.
Yeah, that's a great point. I've traveled with you a lot, and I know one of the most important aspects to you is the inside of a room. And for me, it's the exact opposite, since I spend very little time in my room on any golf trip. I like to get out and explore, so for me, the setting is everything. I love the mountains. I could live in Colorado. I wish I lived in Colorado. I can walk all over the place in Hawaii. I'm an ocean guy through and through, which is why places like Bandon are, you know, on my bucket list a dozen different times rather than just once. I just like to explore. So for me, the local setting around the courses is probably the most important thing on a trip.
Makes total sense to me. We've got the shower whore on one end and the explorer on the other. You'll notice that we just like throwing that term around because Darren seems to like hearing it.
Hashtag shower whore.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man, that's you all over. All right, next, what's the one piece of golf apparel that you would recommend to everyone?
It's kind of a trick question for me because you ask about golf apparel, and the first thing I think of is all of my Band and Dunes gear. I've got the Band and Dunes hat that I take with me anywhere it's going to be cold, which is pretty much Minnesota 10 months out of the year. I've got the Band and Dunes umbrella. I've got the Band and Dunes golf pants. I've got my Band and Dunes glove. You know, you called Darren the shower whore, and I guess I could be a Band and Dunes clothing whore. I don't know. It's if it's got Band and Dunes on it, it's well made. They only stock the best stuff out there because they're prepared for hurricanes and everything all the time. And, you know, it lasts. It stands the test of time. I've had all my Band and stuff for years, and I'd take it with me everywhere, especially to Scotland and Ireland.
I can totally understand that. You know, it's so important. And I like what you said in your notes to us, too, that it's an instant conversation people with other people, conversation piece with other people who have been to Bandon. When they see that Bandon logo, there's a camaraderie, you know, that
Absolutely.
People like, and they just want to start talking about Bandon. And I think that's a great thing. It's a lot of fun to do it. So let's move on to what's your handicap and what yardage do you play from the most?
The handicap thing is always a tricky thing to me. It's something that you and I have discussed at length because we view handicaps a little bit differently than most people we play with. You, me, and Brian, or golf course
golf photographer extraordinaire.
I'll get it right one of these times. But you, me, and Brian have this thing where, you know, and my son, where we insist basically on playing all the way through the hole, which is what you should do. You know, and for me, a handicap is your real score. It should be more based on your real score rather than the number of 10-foot putts that are given to you in a round. And so my official index is 12.1. And basically my goal on every course is just to break 88. I feel like that's fair since we pretty much only get to play every course once. There's no pattern or routine. You just go out and try and do the best you can and not worry as much about the score as playing golf the right way. And then I guess I would say the distance. My preferred distance would be anywhere in the 6,200, 6,250, 6,300 range, as close to that as I can get.
Now, you won't play under 6,000. Well, you'll play under 6,000 yards, but you prefer not to. And whereas, like, I will play all the way down to 5,000 yards if I can possibly get someone to play with me. Tell us a little bit about why.
I have played miniature golf courses that are under 1,000 yards, but for me, it's just something that's kind of in my head. I wish every single course or every designer designed a set of tees basically right at 6,000 yards. I think it's obviously an ego thing. A lot of people won't admit it, but I definitely will. I want to see that number 6,000 on there, even if it's 6,001. And it brings up something that I know you and Mitch and Brian Orr, golf course photographer extraordinaire, discuss all the time, and that's hickories. You know, if you've never played hickories, the audience that's out there, you got to get out and try it. I tried it when I was up in Banff, Alberta, and it was one of the coolest things. And when you're playing hickories, there's a certain distance that's ideal for it. I'm not saying you can't hit hickories as far as regular golf clubs, because I've seen Darren outdrive lots of people with his. But I do know that getting out there and playing something that's a legitimate distance, like you get to play there, 6,000 yards is about maximum for every 10 handicap that's out there. You shouldn't really be playing much more than that.
Well, I think that sounds great, and I wish, like you, that more people would just respond to shorter distances, having more fun, getting creative with the way they play the game. So that's all great. Let's move on. The eighth question of your emergency nine, and I have a feeling I know the answer to this one. Who's your favorite golfing partner and why?
Well, I always joke about this because I say my favorite person to golf with is anyone who doesn't have their phone on them during the round. There's nothing worse than playing with somebody and trying to carry on a conversation and all that than with somebody who's doing work when they're on the course. You know, just stay at work and work. But in terms of individual people, I love having my son with me everywhere I go. He's traveled with me for 10 years. Dylan is my favorite person to take along on a golf course. He isn't necessarily always my favorite person to golf with because he doesn't know how to relax on a golf course. But there's no one more fun to have along. And seeing some of the shots that kid can hit are absurd. Darren got to witness it firsthand in Michigan when he almost holed one out from the top of the hill with his ridiculous shot that he's got. So, I mean, he's fun to travel with. He's my favorite person to travel with. But, you know, golf-wise, yeah, my boy and I as much as I can.
And he's going to get there. I mean, that's all a learning curve for all of us, just figuring out your place on the golf course. And I think if I had Dylan's talent, I would get frustrated at times as well when things aren't going well because, boy, he can really hit it. He can spin wedges, Mitch, like nobody's business. It's unbelievable.
Well, the difference is he's 14, so, you know, he's got that going for him, and there's going to be a lot more. I don't know if it's possible to just keep spinning, but he's probably going to be able to do it and even get better at it from here.
Well, I've learned that petulance at age 41 is a lot more inappropriate than petulance at age 14.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
All right. So, I kind of knew the answer to that one. And I definitely, from the time I've spent with you, know the answer to question number nine. And I mean, you are the biggest champion of this place that you're going to talk about of anyone I know. In fact, you're the only person I'd ever heard mention it before. You know, before I met you, I never even knew about this place. But what's the one golf course you wish everyone knew about?
Well, as you said, you know for sure which course I'm going to say. And being the Kemper sports fanatic that I am in general, it's perfect that this falls right into there. But it's the only one we've got in Minnesota, and that's the Wilderness at Fortune Bay. And I understand it's on a few people's top 100 lists. I get that. But for the most part, the country just ignores the far north courses here because they feel like our season is too short. And granted, it is. It's 4 or 5 months up there. But for those 4 or 5 months, this is one of the top 20 courses in the entire country. And I don't think many people would argue with it if they even got up there and checked it out. And I would say from design, Jeffrey Brower is a genius. He's got several course designs that he's done here in Minnesota, and he knows how to work with mountains better than anyone. He did the two Giants Ridge courses that are right next to it. So if you're looking for an excuse to get up there and check out what I think is the most underrated course in the entire world at the Wilderness, he's got Giants Ridge, two other courses that were ranked in the top 100 right there, less than 30 minutes away. So go play all three of them. Definitely, if you're in the area. There's really no excuse to miss it if you're ever coming to Minnesota. There really is no better representation of Minnesota golf than the Wilderness at Fortune Bay.
And it's got one of the great 19th holes, doesn't it?
Absolutely. One of the prettiest 19th holes, and as long as Chef Quaid is there, he's got the world's best wild duck rice soup. Might be the only world duck rice soup, but it is the world's best. And Tom Beaudry's been the general manager up there for a while. He's a great guy, a redheaded character. He's super fun to golf with, and he'll play with anyone. So if you're ever heading up there, give Tom a shout and see if he'll go out and play with you. He's a great tour guide for that place. Great representation for Kemper Sports.
Well, that is a perfect recommendation and a great way to end the Emergency Nine. I'm sure there's a lot of people, myself included, who weren't aware of that rave review that you give to that golf course. We know about Kemper Sports, as you said. So hopefully we'll all get to take a Minnesota trip. That would be one that I would look forward to with you. And yeah, I guess Darren and Brian also. So hopefully we can do that soon. Eric, thanks for giving us a whole lot more info. We're thrilled you've been with us. We know you're going to be on with Darren and I a lot. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk Sand Valley, one of the most exciting projects anywhere in the world, with Michael Kaiser Jr. And I know you and Eric both got to go to Sand Valley on a preview trip together last summer. So we look forward to talking to him about that. And we're grateful to you for listening to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Don't hesitate to hit us with any golf travel questions, suggestions for future episodes, comments, favorite foods. I know Darren will want to hear about that. Anything you want to talk about, do it with hashtag Talking Golf Getaways or hashtag Emergency9 or hashtag Two Haggis Bags, which is how Darren and I like to think of ourselves. All right, so long, Eric. So long, Darren. And so long, all of you out there. We'll talk to you next time. Until then, keep running down that dream. Go, Tom Petty.